up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. The boys are back in town. The season has officially wrapped up, and we are on a weekly cycle. Yes, we are back. It's Tim, it's Tyler, and it's Doug. The Triforce, the Trifecta are all back, and we are ready to roll this offseason. We've got an exciting show for you guys today. We are going to go over a handful of things. First of all, we're going to continue our series of top 12s for 2021, and we are going to cover wide receivers, probably the most difficult list of all of them for us to do. And we are also going to cover some players, a player to buy from each of us. And we're going to go over our stats and stuff segment. We're bringing that back. Lots of exciting stuff. But before we roll into that, A, make sure to check out Trophy Smack. Tyler, they're doing a win a PlayStation 5 contest right now. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. Trophy Smack is doing a win a PS5 package. The season's over, but you can keep the gaming going with the new PlayStation 5 and Madden 21 package. How you enter is you post your best photo flaunting your fantasy championship or sharing your league's loser. So just take a picture of your loser, just like him crying, maybe like toilet hugging because he's just so sad he's thrown up.
Maybe licking like white dog.
Yes. you tag Trophy Smack on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. And use the hashtag show us your trophy. Hashtag show us your trophy. And the most likes of the photo wins a PS5 plus Madden 21 package. And they'll tally the votes on the 31st of January. That's it. That's all you have to do. So, yeah, Doug, you won the title. You won the belt. I've got a box. I'm trying to fit in an envelope and it's not really working out so hot. So
it's going to be a large manila envelope.
That'd be the best thing. It'd be like a publisher clearinghouse type envelope.
it arrives to me. The envelope's ripped open. The belt's half hanging out. Like, yeah, it'd be great.
But yeah, that's how you enter for the Trophy Smack giveaway. That's all you have to do. And also, there's nothing better than having a Trophy Smack trophy for your league. It's great. I've got to get the championship stuff sent to me. I got to get Doug's name posted on this belt somehow. Just like...
just duct tape and then write it on marker.
I have to go to a local trophy store around here and get some plates done. So just send it to me and I'll take care of it.
Some plates? Well, that's a good thing. Trophy Smack, you can actually get plates made. Trophy Smack, you actually get plates made. So it's a win-win. You keep going for Trophy Smack. Use code DHHRING. You can also get yourself a sweet $60 ring with your trophy that you're going to order. I mean, if you're the commish and you just want to keep that sweet baby to yourself, put it on your desk. Or you just give it to a past champion and keep that going. Like, say, hey, I know you have to give the trophy away this year, but here's a ring in honor of your victory of last year. It's a great thing to do. And it's, you know, it's always nice to have that ring that you can just, you know, put next to your wedding ring. Which one's more important, your trophy or your wedding? But honestly, guys, trophysmack.com is the way to go and use code DHHRING for your free $60 ring.
Absolutely. So the holidays have come and gone. Christmas was great here in the Eddy household. The New Year's was relatively boring. Watched a movie and just hung out. We've had a little bit of a COVID-19 issue in our house recently.
I have breaking news.
Breaking news. Go.
The Jets just fired Adam Gase.
Doug said that 3 minutes before we started recording. Not breaking news.
Tyler does not pay attention
and,
to me.
And guess what? 6 months ago, everybody knew this.
Well, you never know. I mean, God. You never know. Gase has magical eye power.
He does. And...
they call him Adam Gase.
Adam Gase.
Adam Gase.
He gazes
does he ever,
your team.
Does he ever get another shot?
No.
As an offensive coordinator, no. As a head coach, no. As a tight end coach, no. Quarterback coach, probably not. Maybe college quarterback coach for
maybe phys ed teacher?
For Wyoming Central Community College.
Isn't that where Josh Allen originally went?
Yes. And then, of course, you know, they picked him up and went, and I don't know.
Yes. Adam Gase is no longer. Thank the Lord. Two picks. So the Jaguars have locked up number one.
So that means Sam Darnold is going to be
an amazing player to buy. Sam Darnold. QB3 next year.
Well, Michael P. Ryan, Denzel Mims, yeah. Rashad Perriman, Chris Herndon. We had a sighting to him today.
He two could days, have, three, two weeks, weeks, he's been solid.
He I'm could saying. Be the best tight end in the league next year. Yeah. Because if you do the math, the Adam Gase math, Chris Herndon's
going to have a Julius Thomas type of year.
Yeah. It's going to be
double digit touchdowns from Chris Herndon. Book it.
I
was
it.
Actually going to tweet something today about, oh, this is the obligatory like end of the season. Hey, Chris Herndon's still alive, fantasy owners. Just roster him for one more offseason.
I was going to send some offers today for him, but then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let it go for like a month, and then people will forget that he ended strong, and I'm just going to get him on the
team. Yeah, they're actually one of the buys I thought about doing for our buys. I was like, dude, biggest buy of the offseason. And then he had a giant game, and I'm like, oh. Like, Jerry Jeudy was actually going to be my player to buy. Loved him coming out. And Tim, is this your buy? Because you don't have yours down. I mean, we're going back to show sheet, and Tim is not going by the rules here.
He said he was keeping it secret. He was keeping it safe.
I have my lists right here. I have everything written down, but it keeps you guys in suspense. And as a matter of fact, if you want to go that route, Jerry Jeudy is my buy. Because, yes, he had a big week 17, but you know what? The guy was the wide receiver one coming in this year in this year's rookie class. If you go and watch the actual game film, the guy's getting open on his routes. He has subpar quarterback play.
He had some
go
drops. By. I mean,
last week, yes, he did suffer for some.
Yeah, some bad ones drops. Last week. Oof.
But I'm telling you, this kid's a real talent. And if they get some decent quarterback play there in Denver with him, Sutton's going to be back. He's not always going to see the number one coverage. Jerry Jeudy's going to have an uptick next year, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm actually going to eat crow on the Drew Lock thing. Yeah, I thought he's gonna be better. I was wrong. He is not. And I would love for Matthew Stafford to go there and just toss the ball around. Like, just throw the damn rock around. Let Matt Stafford just, yeah, I mean, Matt Stafford can make Marvin Jones.
Guys, I have breaking news. The Sleeper app just alerted me. This is something I have not seen all season long. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside just made a big play for 30 yards. What universe am I living in? Is this correct? Is sleep?
Yeah,
is
the sleep I have the same response on mine.
All right, let's hold on. Let me check. Yes, I've got it too.
Oh my! Wow, I thought I was just 2020 was weird. 2021 starting off weird.
So everybody, let's just switch our player to buy. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside player to buy. Free.
I'm going to have to cut him in a couple dynasty leagues. It's good fun.
I mean, it's going to be like a Cleveland Browns style trade where you give Brock Osweiler and a second to the other team just because, I mean, it's going to be J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and a second just to give to the other team for like a fifth.
So bad. So let's continue with players to buy. I don't want to talk a third of the segment and then go away and then come back. So you've got Jerry Jeudy, Tim, which I think is really good because when you think about this Denver team, Cortland Sutton is going to come back and resume the alpha role. So Jerry Jeudy has been facing the number one corner for his opponents all year long. And now he's going to slide into that number two role. So he should flourish and have a better season as the number two. If Cortland Sutton comes back fully healthy, he tore his ACL early enough in the season that he should be fine. I think Cortland Sutton, we talk about buys. He was in consideration for mine because I think Cortland Sutton is a stud and he's only getting better every single year. And I think that
Studton, does that work? Studton.
Yeah.
2021. I'll take the first strike. I'll swing and miss on that one. I've got,
I want to be a glutton for Cortland Sutton. Let's go.
There you go.
I'll go into my buy and we'll have Tyler wrap us up. My buy was Saquon Barkley. I've been seeing in leagues Barkley getting moved a lot. And we had a league conversation that Tyler and I are in where the guy was like, oh, I got rid of Barkley. He was a bust, blah, blah, blah. And if you look at your team and you think Saquon Barkley is a bust, I pray for you when you build your teams because that is the wrong mindset to have. Saquon Barkley had an absolutely elite athletic profile. He comes into the NFL. Sets the world on fire, has 2,000 yards from scrimmage in his rookie year, and is amazing. Now, he gets hurt in his second year, but still performs well in the games that he was in. And then he tears his ACL in year three. To me, Saquon Barkley is still a top five non-superflex startup pick. And I've been seeing him getting moved on the cheap in a lot of leagues. And it just goes to show, like, the dynasty can be very fickle because it's people get impatient. They move on to the next sweet candy. than they want a taste of, and they forget about the old reliable that tasted so good when you had it. And now it's like, ooh, it's a little sour in my mouth. I need something else. And I think that mindset is like to always kind of push it aside and move on. Doesn't tend to work if you're looking to build like something with long-term sustainability. You're always moving on to the next thing. And if you have Barkley on your team, for me, I'm holding Pat. I'm not going anywhere because his value is lower than it was before. But I think if you talk to the right manager, they might be like, oh, you know, Barkley's been frustrating. He missed like a year and change. Like, I'm ready to move on. And maybe the price is, you know, an RB2 and a wide receiver 2 to get Barkley. And I'm willing to pay that pretty easily to get Saquon, because I still think he's an absolutely elite option at the running back position.
J.K. Dobbins or Saquon Barkley?
Barkley. Well, here's the thing with Dobbins. Like, we don't know what 2021 looks like yet.
Mm-hmm. I agree with Doug. Yeah, I would go Barkley because as a rookie, he came in and was the second or third overall running back in PPR formats as a rookie. I mean, the guy came on the scene, really went to work. The next year wasn't as good, but we saw that Giants team really start to trend down. And, you know, this year, obviously, with the injury, I'm telling you, if that Giants offensive line can get it going to start the season next year, Daniel Jones.
Pretty good in the second half of the season.
Wayne Gallman was destroying.
Yeah. He was a top 10 running back for a good 6 to 7 week stretch.
Yeah, so I have no concern that Saquon Barkley can run with this team.
Also, Barkley's going to catch passes. Dobbins, I'm going to tell you guys, Lamar Jackson does not look to the running back at all. Nope. I watched a little bit of that today. They're always open. All the running backs are always open. Jeff Edwards.
He looks. He doesn't see it. He pulls down and runs. Yep. He never jumps off to the running back. It's one of the biggest flaws in his game, in my opinion.
Yeah, and he could throw for like 300 yards a damn game if you just dump it off to a running back every so often, because they're always open with tons of space, and it's so frustrating. But yeah, Barkley, I mean, you look at his week one with the Steelers, when the Steelers were just stopping every running back. I get he had like, 12 for 6 or something like that. It was ugly. But he also had, it was like 5 for 60. So the guy is going to be, you know, his saving grace is his pass catching.
His ceiling is 100 catches, like easily, I think.
Yes. And like we went over with the running backs, he's my RB1. I did trade him away in a league, but it's all based off of league setting and how I'm building my team. I needed a receiver. I went for DK Metcalf, who we'll probably talk about here in a little bit. And I wasn't too upset about the trade. It worked out for both teams, and that's how trade should be.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So Tyler, so Tim's got Judy, I've got Barkley. Who's your one player to buy right now?
So everybody's out looking for a goat, but I'm going to be out here looking for a lamb. So I'm going to go CeeDee Lamb.
Lamb of God.
I'm going to go CeeDee Lamb. And it's just because look at his stats with Dak. I don't have them in front of me, but let's just remember they were very good, and he was on the same path as Justin Jefferson, which we all know what he
Jeffersonian pace.
Yes. And that was, I remember we have a water bet with Justin Jefferson that we'll probably talk about multiple times this episode, but I was nervous, and CeeDee Lamb was the only saving grace for you guys was him outscoring Jefferson, and he was right there. Then Dak gets hurt and it just kind of fell off. And I mean, Dalton was okay, but you saw him targeting Gallup more. And they had to get Cooper involved because, I mean, that dude's making like $800 million a year. So you have to get him involved. But CeeDee Lamb is still probably, God, he's got to be right there with Cooper for best receiver on the team as a skill-wise. And with Dak coming back, and yes, I do think he's coming back, CeeDee Lamb should come back to form. And I think CeeDee Lamb is going to have a monster year next year. And he is my huge, huge buy for Dynasty. Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit about CeeDee Lamb a little bit later when we go over our top 12 wide receivers for 2021. So with that said, let's move it on. We're going to go to stats and stuff. So let me pull that up in my little phone machine here. Beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, boop. So if you haven't played stats and stuff before, we have two players. I'm going to give you some stats about player A and player B. And then I'm going to ask you guys who you would choose between these two and then give you guys guesses as to who these players are. So are you guys ready?
Ready.
Ready. All right. So player A is 27 years old. He has a 26.6% target market share or target share. He had career high yardage in 2020 at 70 yards per game. five games with at least 90 receiving yards. His December ADP is 85, wide receiver number 42 overall. Player B, also 27 years old, also has a 26% target share, has a career high in receptions in 2020 with over 100, five games with at least 90 receiving yards. His December ADP was 38, wide receiver 17 overall. So my first question to you, Tim, between player A and player B, who would you prefer?
You said player B had five games of 90 yards and player A had seven.
Nope. They both had five games, at least 90 yards.
So it's more based off of price.
Okay. Yeah. At their age, the same target share. We're seeing about 90 yards per game at the same rate. I'm going to take the cheaper player at 85 ADP.
Okay. Tyler, what say you?
This one's hard. I thought I knew what B was until we hit the ADP, but I'm still going to have to go with B. And because I still feel like I know who it is, and I think he's actually in my top 12 at the moment.
Oh, you might be onto something. All right. Tim, who do you think? Any guesses for player A or player B?
27. Is player B Jarvis Landry?
He's not, no.
Okay.
Player B, is it Stephon Diggs?
It is not Stephon Diggs.
Ah, damn.
Any other guesses? This is a pretty good one. I took some guesses off the top, and I did not get them right either.
27.
26% target share. Michael Robert Thomas? Woods,
one of them.
No, neither Woods or Thomas is correct.
Robert Woods is always in one of these. So that was a
he's not in this one.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Are you guys ready for me to divulge?
Yes.
All right. Player A is drumroll. Robbie Anderson.
Oh, hot.
Player B is Allen Robinson.
Oh,
you got Robbie Anderson. I got Allen Robinson. Mm. How do you feel? How do you feel, Tim?
Talk about it. Robbie Anderson's a temple god.
God, this temple unpunching to himself. Yeah, I think
kind of like you're throwing up a little bit when you're.
I think people take Allen Robinson pretty easily in this one if you just give them the names. But then if you break it down, I think the thing with Robbie Anderson is he started the season off at a torrid pace. He was a wide receiver one for, the first 6 or 7 weeks, and then he started to tail off. DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel started to kind of gain momentum. And then Robbie's had some on and off games where Allen Robinson, I mean, you look at him and you're like, oh, wide receiver one stud. And he's been consistent all the way throughout. And I think that's the biggest difference. I think Allen Robinson is the more talented of the two. But when you took a look at the cost, like Robbie Anderson, that's a pretty good value for a guy that's still young. And that Temple coaching staff, he's right there with those guys. I think he's still going to get a lot of targets. We'll see what they do at the quarterback position. I mean, they did use three different quarterbacks today for Carolina. And they're going to have a top 10 pick. Do they take a quarterback?
There's a lot of them.
There are a lot of them. So that's going to be an interesting thing to keep an eye on here in the offseason, for sure. So are you guys ready to get to the main section? We are going to do the top 12 wide receivers for 2021. Now, Tim didn't put it into a generator, so I'm going to go first, followed by Tim, and then we're going to wrap it up with Tyler. How's that sound?
Great.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
All right, so my number one dynasty receiver for 2021, it's tough because when you look at dynasty, there's the, okay, do I go the super young guy or do I go with the guy that's an absolute freaking stud that is by far and away the number one player at his position this year? When you look at the gap between wide receiver one and wide receiver two, it's a pretty wide one. So I've got my number one receiver, even though he's a little bit older, it's Davante Adams, an absolute stud, averaging a touchdown a game, targets galore. I think even if they bring in someone at wide receiver, Davante Adams is not going to fall off whatsoever. You know, the biggest thing with Davante Adams, a little bit of an injury history here and there, but he's shown when he's healthy, he's going to gobble up targets. He's going to score in the red zone. He's got the home run hitter ability. And as long as Aaron Rodgers is there, he's going to be his favorite, just like it was with Jordy Nelson back in the day. Davante Adams, absolute stud. He's my number one overall dynasty receiver for 2021. So, Tim, I don't know who yours is, but let it go. Let us know.
Nice. It's nice. No, nobody does know until I'm getting ready to say it right now. And I have the same exact guy. He's going to be 29 next year. Four of the last five seasons, he's been a wide receiver one. 2019, he only played 12 games and was still just outside I'm sorry, inside wide receiver two rankings of PPR scoring. So Devontae Adams, as long as he's healthy, the quarterback situation is not going to change next year there in Green Bay. The coaching situation is not going to change there in Green Bay. Devontae Adams should maintain an easy spot in the top five, in my opinion. But if he's healthy, he's right there at the wide receiver one for me.
Yeah. Tyler, I don't think you have Devontae Adams first.
I do not. I'm going with the new hotness. And my wide receiver one is Justin Jefferson. And my main reasoning is Odell Beckham Jr. had a fantastic rookie year. Same with Mike Evans. The year after, we're all talking about one or two overall in a dynasty startup. That's what we're talking about. Was it Beckham or Evans? And that was the huge fight. Well, you know what? Justin Jefferson is not getting that type of love. And I feel like that's wrong. Because, I mean, what other 21-year-old is going to end a season with 88 catches, 1,400 yards on the dot? And, yeah, seven touchdowns. But I do think those will go up. If this is his rookie year.
Like, that'll even out.
Yeah, his rookie year. This was his stats on Minnesota as the wide receiver two, quote unquote. He's the wide receiver two with Kirk Cousins. Okay, Kirk Cousins had 21 touchdowns this year. That's not great. So Justin Jefferson, I think, is going to grow. Jefferson, he's one of those guys where you can just see it, and you can see that he's the next generation of superstar at the receiver. And I'm going to jump in at, you know, him as the wide receiver one. And wheels up. I mean, 125 targets this year. That's great. That's what you want to see. And seeing him moved around. Eagles, sorry, bud. He can play outside the slot, and that's what you're all worried about. And the dude is just good.
Yeah, well, that's fine, because I got Jalen Reagor as my number two on my list. No, I'm just kidding.
just twisting the knife in Tim.
I'm joking. No, I, you know, Jefferson, I think, obviously, after setting the rookie receiver record, breaking Anquan Boldin's longtime record for rookie receiving yards and breaking Randy Moss's rookie records, like, that's something to be said. And I think he is a special talent. So I have no qualms with you putting him in the top spot whatsoever. I don't have him quite that high, but he's in the conversation. He's not too far away. I've got my number two guy as first. DK.
First, I want to play a little game that we have not done in a while. The Dynasty Trade Calculator game.
Oh, because we're talking today, about Justin Jefferson. Okay.
Today is Justin Jefferson.
All right, let's do it.
Justin Jefferson. I have Justin Jefferson. Don't go by my rankings. Go by someone else that has Jefferson. So think of that mentality. Justin Jefferson as the DTC calculator, he's a 42. And I do think that does go up after today. I don't think they've updated after today. I do think it will rise. And with the more talk of a wide receiver one overall, I do think its value may possibly hit 50. In my opinion, it could hit 50, but he's at 42 right now. And you see somebody that has Jefferson and you want to get him. What are you offering?
Superflex, yeah.
Yes. Superflex tight end premium.
I'll give you Baker in the 105.
Baker 105.
I'll give you Hopkins in a early second.
Now, I would actually decline both. Because, but if this was me, I would probably go with the Baker. I would go with the Baker side, personally, because
you said he's a 42.
He's a 42.
So Baker's got to be 25-ish.
105 is 22, and Baker in a Superflex league is 23. So you're looking at 42.1 to 45.7. Now, I do think Baker is not a good quarter, like an amazing, outstanding. I do think he's good. He's good for super flex. He can be a great quarterback too.
QB1 weeks, sure.
Yeah. So I'd probably go with that offer. And that seemed like it was pretty even. Doug, yours was an early second.
DeAndre Hopkins in an early second.
So we'll just go 202. Sure. Say it's there.
Yeah, it's fine.
Hopkins. Hopkins is a 40. So
wow.
50.7. Yeah. I mean,
Hopkins. See, we both sent you good trades.
Yeah, that's very true. But I do think Jefferson is going to be harder to get than people think.
Yeah,
and it's all shiny new toy. No one wants to let anybody else play with it.
That's
they
true.
Want it for their own. It's like trying to trade for Jonathan Taylor after today. Like, good luck. Godspeed.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to happen.
I had an idea in a league of, I'll wait till the season's over and then I'll go after. I'm like, damn it.
Taylor, yeah, you're not getting Taylor.
You should know that he was facing Jacksonville with the playoffs on the line. Like,
inflate my price now.
And you know what the best thing about the Dynasty Trade Calculator is that instead of looking at it after I accepted the Baker trade mentally in this whole entire situation, you can look at both. You can see what deals better and actually look at your team. It'll put your roster up and you can see what your team needs and everything. It's a great tool to do. They keep adding on to it. They keep updating it. DynastyTradeCalculator.com. Go check them out.
Yeah.
It's super inexpensive for a whole year. Like I use it as a gauge when I'm sending out trades to get an idea of if I'm in the ballpark and stuff.
Russell Gage.
Yeah. So don't get me started about Russell Gage.
I had to play him in week 16.
Love me. Make your top 12.
He was just for me. Real close. All right. I want to get to my number two wide receiver, and it's DeKalen Metcalf. You know, you look at a guy that has potential Megatron type of upside, the size, the speed, the great quarterback with the accurate deep ball that's going to be there for a while. Like, there's nothing not to like about DK. You know, the biggest thing with him coming out was like, oh, he only runs a couple routes, and that was everyone's thing. And I wasn't a big DK guy when he came out. I was kind of a hater on DK. I'm like, yeah, he's big and athletic, but like, I just don't feel it.
I remember that.
Now that he's doing it on the field, like, hey, you know what? I'll eat some crow on it and be like, I've come around on DK Metcalf. I've got him ranked number two right behind Davante Adams. So I think just a huge stud that, you know, his consistency was off the charts. For the first 10 or 11 games of the year, he was the only receiver in the league that was over 90 yards every single game. He's only had a couple of duds all season long. You know, a couple of them against Jalen Ramsey, who, by the way, is good. Then, you know, he didn't do much today. But DK is an all-world stud, and he's going to be a stud for a long, long time. And his upside is massive. When I look at him, it's like he could be Megatron if the stars align. And that's something that's worth ranking him second overall. He can do things that other receivers just can't. So I've got him second. So, Tim, back to you for number two.
Well, Doug, we're in lockstep again because I am right there with you with DK Metcalf, 23 years old. You mentioned the quarterback. I want to say 120 targets, dead on the nose there with DK this year. He is the wide receiver one now in Seattle. Tyler Lockett, your time is coming on. You're going to be a hell of a wide receiver too, alongside DK. But
also a free agent who's going to be 30.
Well, that's another reason I think they should keep him around, because he's going to play a great second fiddle to DK.
Yeah.
But yeah, DK Metcalf is just an absolute freak. There was that Niners game in like week 6 or 7 or something where he just went. He won that game against the Niners. And then
he took over a game, and that's what you want to see.
And then, you mentioned, Doug, that Jalen Ramsey does what Jalen Ramsey does to a lot of stud receivers. He gets in their face. He doesn't let them get off the line clean, and he's very, very physical with them. DK didn't have his best game against Ramsey, but every other week the man's been out there eating. You saw the second half of the season. The Seahawks kind of got away from passing it as much as they were, or maybe Russ just wasn't on like he was. But as long as Russ is on and DK's ready to go, DK can take over a game and absolutely dominate.
Yeah, I think there was like a 5 or 6 game stretch where DK was up against like Patrick Peterson, Jalen Ramsey, like all these like easy corner ones that everyone was like, oh, DK is going to fall off. And he only really struggled in that game against Ramsey. I was even more impressed coming out of that stretch doing what he did. I was just like, wow, okay, that's really impressive. This kid is like for real, for real. He's for real, for real. And I like that he has Calf in his name because we're all about Team Cavs. Mm-hmm. On DH, so that gave him a little bit
the cows, of like the cows, obviously, we're talking about, right?
Yeah, for sure. All right, so Tyler, we're off to your number two. Where are you bringing us?
I'm going to his college teammate, AJ Brown.
Mm.
Oh man,
love that kid.
AJ Brown,
seriously, I love DK Metcalf, but AJ Brown is, I think, another level. I think he's actually a level above DK Metcalf, and honestly, I just think it's because he's more nuanced in his route running. DK will probably get there in a couple of years, but AJ Brown is already mature in that aspect. Think about this. AJ Brown missed 2.5 games. If you count week one, I mean, he got hurt and struggled. He still ended up with 70 catches, 1,075 yards, and 11 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. The dude had 10 catches today, 151 yards, and a touchdown, and he took over the second half. That guy was a monster, unstoppable. I mean, Corey Davis had a couple of drops, and Tannehill was like, okay, we're just going to go to this monster over here that can take over whenever he needs to. I get it's against Houston, but that's what good players need to do. Destroy weak competition, and AJ Brown does that. He is like the Derrick Henry of wide receivers. I mean, he is an unstoppable force, and I think he's only going to get better. I do like Tannehill. I think Tannehill is a good quarterback for this team, and I think him and Brown will have more of a connection. Brown, I think his first half was hampered by the injury, and I think as he got healthy, you saw the dominating receiver that we all wanted to see. So
I'm interested to see what happens with Corey Davis there if he goes away.
That's true. You know? I mean, I do think they'll probably take another receiver. I mean, it's a good receiver class. Maybe Rashad Bateman, who's pretty much a Corey Davis clone.
Jason
Bateman, another great choice.
Very versatile. He can do everything. Weird
comedy, drama, thriller, suspense.
Weird thing. I mean, they're related. Rashad Bateman and Jason Bateman. I think they're cousins.
Brothers. They're brothers. They're brothers.
Don't forget about Justine Bateman. Just tell him.
Yeah.
Underrated.
Very underrated.
But yeah, I love AJ Brown. And it was even better when he wore the Julio jersey in pregame, like two games ago. So
yeah, that was good. I've got AJ Brown as my number three. The only things that I'll tack on to that is I think DK just has the higher ceiling between the two, but I think AJ Brown is the better complete receiver. I think AJ Brown, if you need him to be in that slot and be a possession receiver, like he's going to do that. Plus his ability to get yards after the catch are some of the best in the NFL. And I think that's the difference between him and DK. They're different types of receivers, but I think AJ is like the safer floor guy where DK is the higher ceiling. I think they're both amazing talents. So I've got AJ Brown right behind him at number three.
DK lines up across from you and you're scared. AJ Brown has the ball in his hands and you're terrified. Like there's the difference. Like DK, you give him a little cushion, he's going to burn you. You bump and run him, he's going to out muscle you and then burn you. AJ Brown is just going to
go ahead and try to press him. He's going to get this quick release on you and burn you down the sideline. If you give him the cushion, he's going to make you think he's going to the outside and you're going to stumble trying to keep up with him when he cuts to the inside.
Man, yep. AJ Brown in the Packers heyday where all Favre threw was slants would have like 3,000 yards.
Donald Driver in that offense.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well,
just to keep things moving, AJ Brown is my number three as well. And in case this is the last time we see this gentleman on the field, AJ Brown is the new version, the hyped up version of a Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, when the guy gets the ball in his hands, good luck bringing him down. He's going to run with force. He's going to make you miss and he's going to run clean, crisp routes. You know, he's tied to a very good quarterback, not a great quarterback. He's on a very good coach team. So, yeah, AJ Brown, he was actually my favorite of the two coming out of college between he and DK. And as Doug said, he can do a little bit of everything. So long term, I think AJ Brown probably has the longer career. I can see AJ Brown living on the outside for the next 7-8 years, and he can step right into that slot and just become the elder statesman like Fitzgerald did his last couple seasons there in Arizona. Just work from the slot, help teach the new guys on the team.
Yeah. I mean, you can't go wrong with either. I mean, if you have one ahead of the other, oh, well, I mean, they're both great.
Yeah. You can't go wrong with either Ole Miss receiver. Love that team.
Dante Moncrief as well.
Hey, he's been playing great for Patriots special teams. That's all I'm saying. All right, my number four, we've talked about him before. He was Tyler's number one. I got Justin Jefferson. You know, the reason I get the whole Justin Jefferson number one, I totally understand that. Part of me when I play Dynasty is there's lots of good rookie years every year, and it's what does the following year look like? So when you have a player like DK and AJ, like they just told me their rookie years were very good. Their second years were even better. So I'm like, okay. So with me, I'm not skeptical of Justin Jefferson's talent at all. I just look at the guys that are like, all right, these two guys ahead of him have done it 2 years in the league. And I like, to me, I don't play for like ultimate ceiling plays in Dynasty. I play a little bit more like a safer floor. And I think Jefferson does have a safe floor. But with Jefferson, it's, you know, there's a little bit of a quarterback thing there. Like Cousins may not be there for much longer. So who do they bring in type of thing? You know, Jefferson, he's a skinnier guy. He's not huge. So, I mean, Metcalf and Brown, I think, are just more durable. They can sustain a little bit more physicality. But Jefferson's a little sneakier. So it's really, really close between all these guys. But I've got DK and AJ ahead of Justin for those reasons. But you, like I said, you can argue to have him number one, and I have no qualms with it whatsoever. It's a personal preference thing. So I still have him in my top five. Justin Jefferson, number four. Tim, who you got?
Well, Tyler, you didn't get to do your number three, did you?
No.
It was AJ. No, his number two is AJ.
Davante Adams is my number three, but I'm actually going to switch him and DK, and it's all because of age. And DK's got, what, five, 6 more years more than Davante Adams. And I do think the Packers will have to figure out what they have in Jordan Love. They have to. I mean, you can't just draft a first-round quarterback and sit there and be like, okay, your 4 years are up. We're not going to be
You're in a window here. Right now. You can't take that chance.
I get that. But the thing is I think after next year, there's a chance that Jordan Love is the starter. And then by then, Davante Adams is 30, rookie quarterback. And then the wheels start spinning in dynasty owners' minds. And they sit there and go, we'll have a 30-year-old wide receiver with a rookie quarterback. Yeah. I mean, well, look at Julio this year. Julio's written off for dead now. Like, that's the thing. Julio hasn't played in 5 weeks, and he's on a milk carton right now, which should be one of the biggest dynasty buys for a contender. So I'm actually going to switch him and DK around. So now you know my number four as well, Davante Adams. And it's pretty much what both you guys have said about him. But yeah, DK is my number three just because of age. Russ Wilson, you know, locked in there for another 3 years. So yeah, DK Metcalf.
All right, Tim, bring us your four, and then we'll go to me for five.
All right, so my four is Doug and I are just right there in step. Justin Jefferson as well. Set the rookie yardage record for receiving. You know, we saw last week he had the Randy Moss cleats. The kid's fantastic. The kid was absolutely amazing down there in LSU. As soon as the Cowboys jumped the Eagles in the draft to take CeeDee Lamb, I was, you know what? That's awesome. We get a fantastic consolation prize of Justin Jefferson. That's not what we did. Oh, well, I'm going to hate it the rest of my life, I think. But Justin Jefferson is a fantastic route runner. He landed in a great spot because if he would have came to Philly right away, he would have had to have tried to bin the alpha, the wide receiver one in Minnesota with Adam Thielen there. Guess what? Weeks one through probably six, seven, he probably wasn't seeing the number one coverage until it was, okay, this guy's absolutely murdering every defense he faces. Let's put our best guy on him. And he still just kept eating. So
yeah, and plus Adam Thielen taught him that lunch pailness, the first guy in, last guy out type mentality.
The Chad Beebe effect.
he had a nice touchdown. He scored right around Jefferson.
I absolutely love everything I saw. I also, with Doug, I don't love Kirk Cousins. I have questions about if he's there, if he continues to be there, what kind of quarterback is he going to be? And let's be honest, if Zimmer had his way, he'd run the ball 50 times a game.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to go to my number five, and it's Tyreek Hill. I think this is the safest pick in the top five. Considering like he's ranked fifth, I think that you look at a guy with an extreme ceiling. We saw what Tyreek Hill can be when he had like 200 yards and a half, right? You know, you want the guy that's tied to the best quarterback in the league and Patrick Mahomes for a long time. They've both signed long-term deals there. They're not going anywhere. You know, Tyreek, the biggest frustrating thing about Tyreek Hill is that he's going to have these major ceiling weeks, but then he's going to have, you know, kind of that soft week where he has 5 for 60, which is still like, okay, you're going to have to deal with that. So I think from a consistency standpoint, you're talking extreme ceiling, but he can have kind of a lower floor compared to some of these guys. But man, he's probably the fastest player in the league. He plays way bigger than he actually is. I've never seen a player his size do so well on 50-50 jump balls down the field. It's crazy to me. So I've got Tyreek Hill pretty clearly at number five here.
My number five is my boo, Stephon Diggs. 27 years old. He's signed with the Bills through 2023. He's tied to Josh Allen. He's tied to that offense. You know, when the trade happened with Minnesota, a lot of people were like, oh man, the Bills probably gave up too much. He stepped right in. Tyler, you got your hand up?
I got my hand up because I was one of them. I was down on Diggs.
I was too.
It was great to see Diggs unlock that potential. I think that Adam Thielen is a fantastic receiver. We just mentioned about him being able to work with Justin Jefferson. But because of how good Adam Thielen was, Diggs didn't get that shine that he needed. And Diggs got to Buffalo. And I was surprised at how just automatic that chemistry was. And I look forward to a second offseason with Josh Allen. If Josh Allen continues to grow as a quarterback, Diggs could be even better than this. But yeah, I'll take Diggs here and just keep it moving, man.
Yeah, I've got Diggs at five as well. And this is my apology issue. I remember this offseason talking about Josh Allen throwing the ball over Stephon Diggs' head and joking around about it. And
but when he did, it's because John Brown was down there.
Was it a little bit bitterness because he left the Vikings? I don't know. You know, that was so long ago. That was back when we actually had no idea about COVID and the extreme stuff. Ah, that was decades ago. But I mean, I was completely wrong. Diggs, I could actually have Diggs ahead of Davante Adams because you get an extra 2 years. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that he's tied with Josh Allen, who looks like he's solved his accuracy issues. Oh, God. Like those two, if there's been any two players that a lot of people have missed. I mean, I like Josh Allen, but I miss hard on Stephon Diggs, like hard on Stephon Diggs. So I'm rebounding, so probably 2021, Stephon Diggs is probably going to fall right on his face, and I'm going to have to apologize for that.
I was wrong again.
Stephon Diggs, I was wrong, but right, then wrong.
Yeah. So let's move on to number six. I've got Calvin Ridley as my number six. I think we saw a little bit of the passing of the torch with Julio and Calvin Ridley. I think Matt Ryan's going to be the quarterback in Atlanta still for the foreseeable future. I don't think they're going to move on from Matt Ryan, although they probably could. But Calvin Ridley really showed to me that he can be the guy. You know, Julio, like you said, has missed the last 5 or 6 weeks, and there hasn't been too many receivers that have been as consistent as Calvin Ridley over that stretch of time. And that's against the number one corners. He's a great route runner. He's got the speed. He's got the hands, and he can do a little bit of everything. So I'm perfectly fine with Calvin Ridley. I know he's a little older than some of the prospects. He came into the league as an older prospect, kind of like Cooper Kupp did a few years ago. And I'm okay with that. I think his volume of targets is always going to be a healthy one. And I think the consistency week in and week out is he's going to be a top receiver here for at least the next 4 to 5 seasons pretty easily. So I've got Ridley as my number six. Tim, bring us to the six pack.
The guy I have here at number six, right there in the middle for me. And you want to talk about being able to take over a game, Mr. Tyreek Hill. What was that week 11, 13, somewhere in there, 12 maybe, when they played Tampa Bay and he had over 200 yards. He was on pace for like 800 yards and 8 touchdowns in a game at one point.
Yeah, he was coming for Flipper Anderson hard.
I mean, it was crazy. So you can't cover the guy one-on-one because I don't know if there's anybody out there fast enough to stay with him. So you got to dedicate the safety. And even with the safety, the guy just gets open. You see Patrick Mahomes, when all else fails, he just throws it deep and lets Tyreek run under it. You saw it in the Super Bowl last year, you know, that play that essentially won him the game, really. Tyreek's an absolute freak. He's still only 26 years old. You know, the height, weight, yes, I was definitely concerned about that coming out. He's proven he's able to take the big hit and still pop up. So I'll take Tyreek here in the middle of the top 12 at number six.
I like it. Tyler, where are you going for your number six?
Same thing, Tyreek Hill. And yeah, the fact that he signed with Mahomes, who is one of the best deep ball throwers in the league, the best thrower in the league, the best quarterback in the league, the best player in the league. And then Tyreek Hill is just on another level. Remember the talks that Marquise Brown was going to be the next Tyreek Hill? And he's like gained on all this weight. And I bought in a little bit, but oh, man. Marquise
Brown scored like 6 touchdowns in the last 7 weeks, I think, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, 5 out of the last 7. That's great. Cause you want to know why? He's in the middle of the field for all of them. And that dude is so tiny. Like, where's this extra weight he put on?
He scored 6 all year.
He scored 6. That sounds like somebody who drafted Marquise Brown in redraft league.
No. Nope. Was never a Marquise Brown fan.
He's all right. Yeah.
So, yeah, Tyreek Hill, number six.
All right, let's move to lucky number seven. I shuffled my ranks a little bit. Now that I'm looking at it again, I'm probably going to regret this one, but I'm going to stick with it because I don't want to keep deleting names. And this is a really hard list to make. So I've got DeAndre Hopkins here at number seven. I mean, we look at his first year in Arizona after getting traded from Houston. He has over 115 receptions, over 1,400 yards, only six touchdowns, which I think is probably due to positively regress next year with another year with Kyler Murray. You know, Larry Fitzgerald, he may not be back. Christian Kirk, he showed some flashes, but Hopkins is going to be the target guy here. Over 160 targets this season is absolutely phenomenal. There's no reason for him not to eat. I think Hopkins is the type of player that, because of his skill set, you know, we talked a little bit with A.J. Brown, like he'll be in the league longer than DK Metcalf. Well, I think DeAndre Hopkins is that guy too. He can play on the outside now, but he can also play inside. So I think DeAndre Hopkins has a good at least three years of wide receiver one production left in him. He's going to be 28 years old, or he's going to be 29 years old in June. So, I mean, you're looking at probably 3 years of wide receiver one production. I think that that's perfectly fine. He's going to be connected with Kyler Murray until he retires and plays baseball, as Tyler thinks he will, because he looks interested and he has a fat face and he looks like Kazoo from the comic.
I said he's got a resting bitch face. Like, Kyler Murray does not look like he's having fun just because he's got that non-happiness look. The only time he smiles is when he like has 10 touchdowns in a game, and I mean that happened like once this year where he actually saw him smile, and you can't see him smile because
you called it.
he's going to play at the A's.
So I've got Hopkins at seven. I'm probably going to regret that, but whatever. So let's go to your regrets, Tim. Who's your number seven?
My number seven is kind of he's not a forgotten man, but just kind of on the back burner for some people. A 24-year-old in Tampa, Mr. Chris Godwin, last year saw over 120 targets. He saw 50 less this season. Only played in 11 or 12 games, had some injuries keep him out of some games. Mike Evans saw a bit of a resurgence. You didn't have the gunslinger in Jameis Winston just slinging it all over the field. You had a more controlled passing game with Tom Brady at the helm. But at 24, we saw what the upside for this kid is. And I still absolutely, absolutely believe in him. You know, if he was healthy this year, instead of being a wide receiver three, we're talking about probably a back end wide receiver one. So I'll take him here at seven because I think the future is bright for the guy. He's probably got another 8 years in him. So I'll take him here at seven overall and just hope the Tampa Bay Buccaneers make a smart transition from Brady.
Yeah, I mean, Godwin's going to be a free agent at the end of the year too, so Tampa's going to have to figure out how to retain him. Or if he goes somewhere else, then he could be the number one alpha. I think he has the skill set to do it. I think at this time last year, Godwin was in a lot of people's like top three for Dynasty wide receiver. So, yeah, I mean, he was not on Tyler's list at first, and I was like, no, Chris Godwin, what's up with that?
Yeah, that was just my bad because
it's tough. There's so many receivers
and people get forgotten because they have a down year. He still had nine touchdowns. I agree with that. So Tyler, we're off to you for your next one. Your next number seven.
I am going. Kelvin Ridley is my seven, and pretty much all of what you said, Doug, about Kelvin Ridley, the torch has passed. Mm-hmm. There was some games where Kelvin Ridley, you could see him struggling without Julio. But then I think towards the like last three games without Julio, you saw that him step up his game a little bit where he had that my ball mentality where he is, you know, he was the main dog. He was the main receiver. And that's what I like to see. And for his size and just kind of taking over games like that, that's what you want to see out of an alpha receiver. And Kelvin Ridley showed that. So Kelvin Ridley is my seven. We have finally seen the torch pass. Julio's still going to have that 1,200 yards per season easily and three touchdowns, but he's still going to be a very productive receiver.
Such an Andre Johnson. That's all I got to say with Julio. So disappointing. Yeah, it's a guy that should score like 100 touchdowns in his career is going to score like half of that.
Yeah.
So crazy. All right, I'm going to move to the number eight, and I've got CeeDee Lamb, who we've talked about a little bit before. For all the same reasons that Tyler talked about CeeDee Lamb, you know, if Dak comes back, and like Tyler thinks, I think that Dak will be back. There's no way that they move on from Dak. They try to they figure out a way to make it happen, and I think Dak is back. CeeDee Lamb, just the skill set that he showed this year in his rookie season, I think he needs to bulk up a little bit, but I'm not worried about that. But just some of the catches that he made, the versatility to run outside, to run in the slot, to take some handoffs from the backfield was something that like we might not have thought of, you know, kind of in that little bit of Bob Woods type of role, and making some good progress with those. Just a lot to like about CeeDee Lamb. It's going to be interesting to what happens with Michael Gallup this offseason, if they move him or if they keep him. If they move Michael Gallup, like, and I think Gallup's a good player. I like him a lot. So I think if he was available via trade, a lot of teams would jump on Michael Gallup because his contract is pretty affordable. But if they choose to move on from Michael Gallup and it's Cooper and then Lamb's the number two, like, I like it even more. I think even Lamb is the number three. I think he's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver with double-digit touchdowns in that offense. So I've got CeeDee Lamb as my number eight. Tim, off to you.
My number eight, I'm going to finally jump in here with Calvin Ridley. You guys really did hit the nail on the head there. The torch has finally been passed. Calvin Ridley, especially early in the season when Julio was still out there, if somebody else is out there to take coverage away from Ridley, the guy's going to just absolutely go, you know, he's going to ball on you. But he had a little bit of a growth stunt there where once Julio was out and defense could really focus on him, it seemed like it took him a couple weeks to really figure it out on his own. But once he did, we saw that towards the end of the, especially in the fantasy playoffs, he was making fantastic catches. Matt Ryan was featuring him. Just, he was that safety blanket for Matt Ryan. So Calvin Ridley, I think, is a safe pick here at this point in the draft.
Absolutely. Tyler, who's your number eight?
I'm going to be the first one to jump in on DJ Moore. God, what a terrible season. The worst season this guy's ever had, it seems.
He's a 1,000-yard receiver in the league.
Oh, my God. Like, horrible off year. 66 catches, 1,193 yards, and four touchdowns.
Terrible.
Terrible, terrible. You know what? This dude is the biggest buy. I mean, CeeDee Lamb is a huge buy, but DJ Moore's got to be very close to one of my buys.
He's up there.
Because like, they've got to get a new quarterback. I like Teddy Bridgewater, but I don't think he's the answer for that team. They're going to have an early pick. You know, you got players like Mac Jones from Alabama. You got Zach Wilson from BYU, who I think is the player they want, and I think that they could get. And if he... with this gunslinger type mentality that Zach Wilson has, even Mac Jones, he's got that. He's more of a safer. He's more of a safer play, but he's got better accuracy. Yeah. I mean, they're going to get a quarterback. They're going to get somebody new. Maybe it's a Matt Stafford. Who knows? Who knows what they're going to do? But DJ Moore is the wide receiver one there. Everybody thought, oh, Robbie Anderson's. No. DJ Moore is the wide receiver one there. We all thought DJ Moore was going to take this massive step up. In my opinion, with his injuries and the way this team was with their injuries, I still think he's a dominating receiver in the league. He just needed the targets. He wasn't getting those premier targets that you saw all these other guys getting. DJ Moore is just going to be fine. He's at number eight for me. And yeah, if you have an opportunity to get DJ Moore for even a first this year, which could be possible with this draft class in a super flex league, say a team needs a quarterback in your set, I would not be sad with giving up a mid to late first for DJ Moore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's a move you could probably make as we get into draft season and the picks start to gain value and people are like, I need a pick because I want to get this guy because they're in love with God knows who. Yeah, that's the time to strike, to be like, hey, I got this 107. How about you give me some DJ Moore? And they're like, oh, okay. And then they make it happen. Those are the types of deals that I love to see happen.
DJ Moore, he's so bad. He had such an off year. 1,196 yards. 100 yards.
Yeah, he's terrible. So let's go. I've got my number nine is Terry McLaurin. I have just in a crazy love for Terry McLaurin. He just turned 25 years old, so he did come out a little bit later in his career. So he's a little bit older, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm not an ageist necessarily in Dynasty. But what they had at the quarterback... Okay. They have the quarterback position: Kyle Allen, Dwayne Haskins, Alex Smith, Taylor Henke. He still gets 130 targets, over 1,100 yards, only five touchdowns. So that regressed from last year. I think the Redskins are going to do something at the quarterback position in the offseason. Terry McLaurin reminds me of like early DeAndre Hopkins. It didn't matter who was quarterback there. He's going to get the targets. He's going to get the yardage. He's going to get the receptions. The touchdowns might be a little bit hit or miss. But to me, McLaurin, out of a lot of guys on this list, he's one of the more complete receivers on this list for me. I think Terry McLaurin is an amazing talent. I know a lot of people won't have him in their top 12, and I'm okay with that. But he was a wide receiver two in his rookie year. He's a solid mid-wide receiver two in his second year, and I think he's only going to get better as his career progresses, especially if they address the quarterback position. And even if they don't and it's Alex Smith, I'm still okay with Terry McLaurin because I think he has the upside to smash, and his consistency outside of a couple of weeks where he was a little banged up and the matchup wasn't great. I mean, he had a down week against the Steelers and the Niners, but outside of that, he only had two other single-digit PPR weeks. He was averaging pretty easily 15 points a game outside of that. So I love me some Terry McLaurin. He is my number nine. Tim, who is your number nine?
My number nine is another Penn State receiver, Allen Robinson, 27 years old.
John Hamilton. What?
27 years old, unrestricted free agent, finally, after the Bears finished their playoff run. This is three straight seasons of over 1,100 yards, at least six scores. I think he caught over 100 passes this year, over 1,200 yards. And he continues to do this with subpar quarterback play. For the love of God, Allen Robinson, make a smart business decision and go somewhere with a competent quarterback. And let's see what you can actually do. If you had, I don't know, he's originally from Detroit. I'd hate to see him end up in Detroit, especially thinking that Matt Stafford's leaving. But if Detroit were to get one of these top quarterbacks in this draft class, Allen Robinson decides to go home to Detroit, you never know. We might see a 1,500-yard season out of this guy, 10-plus touchdowns. Remember that first year in Jacksonville where he was like the garbage time target monster?
Him and Bortles.
Yeah. I mean, good God. So we saw what he can do. I absolutely still love the guy. So I'll take him here at nine.
Worst case scenario, the Bears signed Trubisky again, which there's rumors that if they made the playoffs, they were going to re-sign him there, and you know they're going to roll with Trubisky. And then they re-sign Allen Robinson. Like, that's the worst case scenario, but you know what is what is there. So you know this is what Allen Robinson is going to do with Trubisky. He's going to get targeted nine times a game.
You know what I would love to see? I would love to see the Bengals move on from A.J. Green when Allen Robinson goes to Cincinnati.
No, that's not going to happen because a guy that was on my list, but then I took off because I forgot Godwin, is going to take over.
They can coexist.
That T.D. Higgins is going to destroy.
T.D. Higgins, Allen Robinson, and some Tyler Boyd.
Tyler Boyd.
Ooh, yeah, Drew Sample. Hello. Help me,
Joe Mixon. Hey, don't make fun of my
Sample. Let's
make
Drew Sample. I like Drew Sample.
I have right, Tyler.
Uzma. Who's your number nine, Tyler?
My number nine is Chris Godwin, and I'm going to apologize for forgetting him because he's one of my favorite receivers in the NFL. Mm-hmm. The dude is just... He's such a good receiver, and he's so good at everything. He can play every position. He's kind of handcuffed to the slot in this Bruce Arians offense, but I think he can do more. He seems to be was hurt this year, so I think he's hampered by that. But man, I have a gut feeling that they're going to have to do something with Mike Evans this year. And I honestly would not be shocked if they move Evans, re-sign Godwin, and then Tyler Johnson takes over that Mike Evans role, which would make Tyler Johnson a huge buy. I do think they keep Antonio Brown. I think if Brady stays...
As long as Brady's there, I think Brown will probably
stay. Yes, and I think that is a great connection, which makes me feel Mike Evans could be on the move to somewhere else. Maybe a Green Bay type area. So, I mean, they pretty much got the Mike Evans... The 70% Mike Evans and Alan Lazard. I mean, he's pretty much Mike Evans 70-80%. But yeah, I think Chris Godwin is staying in Tampa. That is my gut feels. And Chris Godwin, no, I think it doesn't matter where he plays or where he ends up this offseason. Chris Godwin is a wide receiver one.
Yeah, I agree. I have Chris Godwin as my number 10. So the thing that impresses me with Godwin is that, like, yeah, you said he's pretty much reduced to the slot role, but you saw him take over like when Evans left with that injury after getting his seventh straight 1,000-yard season to start his career, which has never been done. So congrats to Mike Evans. But he tracks the deep ball so well too. Like Godwin is just, he's one of my favorite receivers as well. I love Chris Godwin. So I've got him at number 10. Tim, we're in double digits. Who you got at 10?
P.S. Can Chris Godwin switch off of number 14? It doesn't feel
like he used to be 12, but
I'm TB12.
It was CG12. Now it's TB12. But Chris Godwin needs to get away from 14. I just don't feel good about that number. There's something up with 14. You know what I'm talking about? Like when
he was 14 when he was of the Patriots.
Like Stephon Diggs is doing all right with 14. I'm a numberist. If people are ageist, I'm a numberist.
Fair enough. How many good receivers wear number 80 or higher in the league now? There's not many.
I wish they would go back to that.
Steven's got 88, so that's good.
Yeah.
My number, what are we on? Number 10? Number 10 is Terry McLaurin. Doug, you laid it out. This has been your guy from the jump. Despite the fact that at least probably half of his career has been spent with, in my opinion, one of the worst mechanical quarterbacks the league's seen in a long time, Terry McLaurin is still an absolute animal. The guy has not, again, Alex Smith has been the best quarterback he's played with. And we're talking Alex Smith post, leg amputation and things like that, robo leg. So Terry McLaurin is an absolute monster. I look forward to him seeing a uptick in quarterback play in the seasons that come and seeing what his actual ceiling is, because what he's doing without great quarterback play is absolutely phenomenal. And I don't think he gets the respect he deserves.
Talking about the quarterbacks and these receivers playing with quarterbacks, it gets me excited about this offseason because I do think there's going to be a lot of quarterback movement. Like Matt Ryan, right. do we know if he's staying? Matt Stafford, there's going to be a lot of quarterback movement, I have a feeling.
Cam.
Yeah.
Carson
Wentz, with his $185 billion contract that they've got to move on from. I'd hate to be an Eagles fan. Ooh, right, Doug?
I hear you. Tyler, if we wouldn't have got a trophy a couple years ago, it'd be terrible. But I'm okay. Man. We just won one not too long ago.
Feel better, that's for sure.
See, and I just want to say, I was actually going to post this. That trophy truly belongs to the Always Sunny crew and what they had to do to actually help that trophy happen. For all you guys that haven't seen the Super Bowl trophy episode of Always Sunny, Charlie has these things that he has to do in order for the Eagles to win. Like he's got to have green on, and then he's like the second half, he's got to have a different color that he sees and all this stuff. And the Super Bowl episode shows that. So honestly, I think the win was on the Always Sunny crew. So,
well, that city had gone through such a long drought. Really, it was the Philadelphia Soul, the Arena League team. They won the Arena League trophy. It broke the curse. There you go.
That's true. And doesn't John Bon Jovi own that team?
He does.
Yeah, I believe he owns a stake in it, at least. Him and Jaworski, I believe.
Yeah, he's...
Tyler, who's your number 10?
CeeDee Lamb is my number 10 for all the reasons we talked about. And Dak Prescott, yeah. He should be back. I talked about CeeDee Lamb. He's my biggest buy of the offseason. He's going to be fun to have and fun to be reaping the rewards. He could be in the top five by this time next year. Mm-hmm. So CeeDee Lamb, yeah. I mean, everybody had him as wide receiver one this year. Had him ahead of Jefferson, Judy, all those guys, except Rager, Tim. The Eagles did not have him ahead of Rager. So
Howie's a great money guy, a terrible scout.
We are just destroying Tim tonight. But
constantly pouring salt into that open wound.
But yeah, CeeDee Lamb's going to eat. And you're all going to be happy with him.
Yeah. Yes. So I've got number 11.
Did you get that? No? That was a Euro joke? Come on.
I got it. I just chose to move on. So my number 11 is DJ Moore, who we've talked about before. Just a sneaky campaign from a yardage perspective. And yeah, the touchdowns weren't there, but I think they'll positively regress going forward. He's still young. He's still great. And, again, like you said, quarterback position, I think he's the type of guy that can flourish with any type of quarterback. So I'm not worried about that. So DJ Moore, like Tyler said, I think is a solid buy if you're looking to go get a young asset.
Why would you buy him? He's so bad. He had such a bad year.
I think if there was a buy low window for DJ Moore the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season.
Yeah, he's a bust, Doug. Ugh.
Yeah, he's terrible. Remember that Jonathan Taylor window that was like a week and a half old when you could have bought it on the well? Yeah. Good times. Hey, I'll give you Chris Carson and Travis Homer.
The good news is DeAndre Swift is now a buy as well. Woo!
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Tim, who you got as your number 11?
My number 11, and it's crazy to think that the guy that was wide receiver one just 12 months ago is all the way down here at 11 for me. Michael Thomas, I know that Breeze is most likely gone. I would be blown away if he's not, honestly. But Michael Thomas, with the IR stint, played in a whole 7 games this year, only saw 55 targets. He didn't even score this season. So Michael Thomas is kind of off the radar. You want to talk about a buy? If you got a you got an owner in a league that is just completely disgusted with Michael Thomas because of how the end of the season went, see if you can't get him for cheap. Michael Thomas has shown the ability to be the alpha wide receiver in the league. I don't think he continue that pace without Drew Brees, but we all know that he is extremely talented. So hopefully they have a good quarterback in place, and Michael Thomas can at least maintain a spot in the top 12.
Yeah, I think the thing with Michael Thomas is that we saw him struggle a little bit with Taysom Hill for the first game or two, and then it was like the third game, Michael Thomas had double-digit targets. He had like 10 receptions for over 100 yards. Again, I think Thomas is – I mean, we're talking a guy that came off one of the best wide receiver seasons of all time. He broke the reception – single-season reception record, and he's had a history of success. So I think Michael Thomas, if you're a win-now team, I know – you know, Thomas, obviously, it's a little concerning with the injury, and he's going to be 20. What did we say? 28?
28 next year, yeah.
28 next year. So he's got a few good years left, I think, too, kind of like DeAndre Hopkins. If you're in a win-now team and you can buy low on a guy like Michael Thomas, you know, I would pay a little bit more than I would for Julio Jones in a buy-now team. And I think Michael Thomas is a really savvy play to go out and purchase this offseason because – he's going to be solid, I think, regardless of who the quarterback is. If it's Taysom Hill, I can live with it. If it's Jameis Winston, I love it. If it's someone else, even better is the way
If it's like somebody like Sam Darnold, who I'm really hoping they actually trade for, I would love that move that the Saints traded for Sam Darnold.
He'll be in New England.
Oh,
they got to do something. Who knows what's going on in New England anyway?
Gross. I mean, Michael Thomas, like you said, He kind of showed a little bit of the other side of the coin, the attitude, the kind of
you little diva attitude there. Yeah,
the Antonio Brown, like mild Antonio Brown style of
Ochocinco with him.
Kind of like you have this cupcake and you're like, oh God, this cupcake was great last year and you take a bite and it's sour cream instead of cream cheese frosting. Yeah.
Cupcake got stale.
Yeah.
I have a bad taste in my mouth that it's left.
All right. So number 12 for me, I have four names here. And
skip me again.
No. I said Tyler number 11. He didn't. Tyler wasn't listening.
My apologies. I thought Doug just went with 12.
No. Okay. That was my 11.
Beat it, Tyler.
Tyler 11.
Okay. After my Euro joke, I understand. But Allen Robinson's my number 11. I still got his Jags jersey in my closet. Love this man. He just needs to find that quarterback. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think it's going to happen. I do think the worst case scenario does happen for him. I do think he returns to Chicago.
He was not happy earlier this season.
I mean, if he's
going to have quarterback pictures in his locker.
I mean, everybody wants him to go to Green Bay, but can Green Bay afford him with Rodgers?
No, they can't. They get a recent Archer. Come on.
Yeah. So Allen Robinson, he's going to end up in New England and get like 80 targets for 600 yards and 3 touchdowns.
N'Keal Harry.
Yeah. But I mean, I love Allen Robinson. He's shown that it doesn't matter who is thrown to him. He's still going to dominate. So Allen Robinson is actually ahead of DeAndre Hopkins, who's not on my list.
I don't have Michael Thomas on my list. I thought about putting him on there. I shifted at the last minute. So my number 12, both of you guys, number 5. So I'm way down on this player. It's Stephon Diggs. I've got him at 12. I respect the talent. I just think it's
why do you hate Stephon Diggs? What did he do to you?
I don't hate Stephon Diggs. I just
is it because he destroyed your Patriots?
Coming out of high school, chose to stay home and went to a crap college in Maryland. He's a great route runner. Awesome hands.
Stephon Diggs. I've had him on my dynasty teams before.
Hey, Tim, remember when Philadelphia could have had him too?
Yeah. Yeah. Golly, just call me before you make a pick. I'll tell you how stupid you are.
That's where you at that draft, God, by the way. Where you at one of those drafts?
I was at the one in Philly. the one where we could have DK.
Oh yeah, that was it.
That one. Yeah.
I think currently leading the team in receiving, by the way, with 30 yards.
What?
I'm just saying. Yeah, so I've got Stephon Diggs. I think it's there's something that tells me, like, we've seen this is going to be the ceiling season for Stephon Diggs. I still think he's a really good receiver. I just kind of like the upside of some of these younger guys, I guess. It's not hating on Diggs. Like, you guys made a really good argument to have him as a top five. He's paired with Josh Allen. All those things are well and good. I think he had he was really healthy this year. I think that he clicked with Josh Allen. All those things are indisputable. Maybe I should have him ranked higher, but you know what? I've got him at number 12 and I've got to stick with my guns. I'm not going to change it now. So at me, hate me, I don't care, whatever. Stephon Diggs, number 12.
So all you guys heard it. Doug hates him because he plays for the Bills, which is in his Patriots division, and he's very upset.
I hate all the Bills.
Yeah. Bills, Jets, and Dolphins out of
Tua sucks. Kelly or Josh Allen sucks. Diggs sucks.
I like Dolphins.
And Clarence Chowd is the best. Yeah.
Judge should have kept Adam Gates. What the hell are you doing?
Let's go to Tim now, guy, with the wicked number 12.
Number 12. I came down to four names and I had one spot left, and it stinks because I'm leaving off names like Kenny Golladay.
Who?
DJ Moore is not going to make my list. What's that?
Tell me why it's Chase Claypool.
DJ Moore is not going to make my list, and T. Higgins is not going to make my list. So I left the last spot to Mr. CeeDee Lamb. His first few weeks, he was being productive with Dak Prescott as a rookie, very limited camp, not the traditional offseason. With a full offseason under his belt, Dakota Prescott back there at the helm for the Dallas Cowboys. We saw what this offense looked like with Dak at quarterback. You get him back there healthy. Zeke's going to be running hard again. We saw what he was doing when Dak was there. You got Amari Cooper on the other side. CeeDee Lamb is an absolute stud. He's a machine, and I love the fact that this guy paired with Dak in this offense, these guys could absolutely take off. They, on paper, they should absolutely walk away with the NFC East next year.
On paper, yes. I agree. Tyler, wrap us up with your number 12.
I'm going with the luck of the Irish, Terry McLaurin. I mean, I don't know if he's Irish. Doug gave me the look, but so.
Ian, Donovan McNabb, they're both super Irish.
this is the great advice you get at Dynasty Happy Hour. Terry McLaurin, the Irish, you know.
Yeah.
Go.
The pipes.
All right, Terry McLaurin. I mean, like Doug said, you see what he's doing with the trash heap he's got at quarterback. And I do think Alex Smith has played well, but that is when you've seen Terry McLaurin shine. Imagine if he had somebody better than Alex Smith, which could be like a Matt Ryan-esque player if Matt Ryan was to go there. Revere has completely turned that team around. They could be a contender next year. That whole division is going to be insane next year. It doesn't matter if you're 6-9. It's going to be insane. Just the battles they're going to have and who's going to win that division. Terry McLaurin, he's a good receiver. That's all you need to know. He produces with anybody. He's going to, he's going to have the 4 for 40s, but he's also going to have the 10 for 180 and two tutties a couple weeks out of the year. So yeah, Terry McLaurin, I think we've only seen the floor. The ceiling's limitless with this guy.
No ceilings, as they say. I love it. Well, that's going to wrap us up this week. That was yes, he is Irish. He didn't play for Notre Dame, though. Much respect to your fighting Irish, Tyler.
Chase Claypool did, and that dude is very close to my top 12.
Ooh. Yeah, this isn't a hot team. Yeah, there was a lot of rookies that had a hell of a rookie season, that's for sure.
Yes, absolutely. Huge receiver class. As you guys know, there was no rookies. Who would be your guys' first rookie off the board?
Chase. Not knowing landing spot, Jamar Chase, just based off of talent level.
Oh, yeah. Jamar Chase for me, too. It's very close, though. Smith is a fantastic receiver. And I think in this day and age at receiver, it doesn't matter if you're 250 pounds or 100. And I'd say if you're 150, yeah, it matters. But if you're a buck 75, buck 80 that he is, I mean, we talked off air. Marvin Harrison was 185, and that dude is one of the best. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we like everyone makes fun of Devonta Smith, and I'm like, Justin Jefferson isn't a huge dude. Like,
yeah, he's honestly probably 195. Jefferson, end of season, you all know they all lose weight because they gang it for the season, and then they start to lose through the season. I bet Jefferson's 195, 190.
Yeah, probably. So that is going to wrap us up this week on Dynasty Happy Hour. Once again, check out trophysmack.com for your trophy needs. Grills, belts, actual trophies, they've got it all. Make sure you take a picture with your trophy and upload it on there. If you use Tyler.
Yeah, you just go upload it on any one of the social media platforms and you will use the code. Let me get the code for you. You'll use code.
Remember,
hashtag show us your trophy on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. And you got to tag them at Trophy Smack. It's PS5 with Madden. I mean, I've seen videos of it. I'm actually going to download the demo for Madden. I mean, I watch videos about the update for the new gen. Doug and I have in the new gen. And it's great. I mean, the helmets, the style of the helmets, the way they change just the helmets is insane. The sparkles that they have on the helmet, or even Atlanta's matte helmets, when there's rain on it, ooh. It's going to be crazy what they do with these new gen systems.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I love it.
Yeah, the future is going to be insane for these.
It's awesome. So once again, thank you to Trophy Smack for sponsoring us this week. We're going to be back next week on Dynasty Happy Hour. So make sure you come and join us. Make sure you go on iTunes. Leave us a review. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to go over tight end. It's going to be the top three or four, and then it's going to be ugly. So prepare yourselves now. We probably won't talk as much about tight ends as we did wide receivers, and it might be a little bit easier to rank these guys. It's just an ugly, ugly position, and I think we all know that. But we might have some maybe some buys at the tight end position. I've got a little bit of a tight end whisperer, apparently, or so I've been told, at the position. Just
we're
saying that.
Like, all right.
2 years ago, it was Darren Waller I was telling you to buy. Then it was Logan Thomas, and now I'm telling you to go out and buy Donald Parham or go get him because he could be the tight end one there. With Justin Herbert, if Hunter Henry walks, freebie points. That's all I'm talking about. So make sure to tune in next week for the ends that are tight. Unfortunately, we'll have our clothes on for that one. So just make sure you tune in for top 10 next week on Dynasty Happy Hour.